Well, tell somebody, welcome to the night of encounter. Night of encounter. Who's on the screen? Luke 4:31. Yeah, on the screen. Take your seats. Well, we want to just appreciate our friend and pastor. Man, you're such a gift. Humble servant of God. Would you be so kind just to give Pastor Woodrow and Pastor Francine a round of applause? Come on, appreciate that. Woo, Jesus. Come on. Say, Lord, bless them. Now, come on, say it one more time. Lord, bless them. One more time. Lord, bless them. Amen. Give him praise. Would we be so kind? Don't take offense. If I'm going to ask you all to come this side, and I'm going to ask you to come. This, is that okay? If you're not happy with it, stay there. Please, please, if you're not happy, stay. I don't want you to lose the anointing because I got you to change your seat. Say, Pastor Luke doesn't know I sit here every Sunday. That's how the devil is attacking you. You're at the same seat, man. I'm telling you, he's confused now. He's looking for you and he can't find you. Amen. Well, we're going to teach a little bit and see what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on a Sabbath, on the Sabbath days. 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone." You didn't catch it. Go back to verses 33. Verses 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. Watch 34. Saying, "Let us alone." You caught it. "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Continue. 35. And Jesus rebuked him. Jesus rebuked him, not she, him. Man, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And hurt him not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing for a short while on the topic, no more church as usual. Tell somebody, no more church as usual. Now, every synagogue had a that used to pop in or used to be the host rabbi. Like in this church, we have the host rabbi or the host teacher, Pastor Woodrow Walker. This is what happened. Those rabbis were very educated. They were sharp. They were good teachers of the law. In fact, Jesus recommended their teaching. Jesus actually told the people, you must obey what they teach you, but don't follow what they do. So Jesus actually loved these guys' teaching because they were called doctors of the law. Sharp, educated. They were excellent in the way they presented themselves. They spoke well. They had every point and every comma correctly done. The way they presented themselves, the people loved their teaching because they were sharp. So one day, Jesus rocks up. Jesus rocks up in the synagogue where the rabbi was teaching for a while. Sharp rabbi. But Jesus now comes and he teaches. As Jesus teaches, his teaching was not like the rabbi. Because the rabbi had excellent of speech. I'm not saying Jesus didn't have excellent of speech, because Jesus was powerful. But the rabbi taught well. But Jesus came with a different teaching. He came with the teaching of man. It accompanied the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how long that man sat in the service of the rabbi possessed. Scripture doesn't tell us how long he sat there, but I believe it was a long time. He sat under the rabbi possessed. He sat in the rabbi's church possessed. He sat with a spirit that tormented him under the rabbi's teaching. Every time the rabbi taught, the man was there. But Jesus came with a teaching that provoked that demon. Sometimes we sit in church with our little demons that we pet and we pie. It's my demon, this. This is my spirit of lust. This is my unforgiving spirit. This is my spirit of jealousy. This is my spirit of fantasy. It's my demon in church. When the power of God moves, we hold to our demon. You're not leaving now. He was possessed in church. He was sick in church. The teacher taught. The man stayed sick. He left church sick. He went home sick. He went home possessed from church. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine how many people here are sick, tormented, plagued by the evil spirit? Then you want to keep church as normal? You don't know how many people come to church wanting to commit suicide. And you say, no, we don't need the Holy Ghost. We need normal church. Give me a good service with music and everything. That's good. But then the people go home possessed. We cannot continue another year. I'm not saying this church. If I'm talking, I'm talking broad. Don't take offense. Now, this church is powerful. It has powerful teaching. It has the anointing. But you know what? The more we can cultivate the Spirit of God within us, every one of us, we need to be activated in order to do the works of the ministry. The job is not laid up for Pastor Woodrow Walker. Pastor Woodrow Walker is not the only one that must drive out demons. The minute you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are mandated to heal the sick. We love go heal the sick, but we don't want to get to the next portion. Go raise the dead. No, oh, no. No, not for me. Please. I can at least heal some sick headache, but to raise the dead? This year, I knew it. Before God, I miss God. I'm telling you. As your brother, I missed him. I was doing a funeral. I knew before God, that man wasn't supposed to die. He was supposed to be resurrected in my service. I came, man, I was fired up. I knew today, it was a young man that died. I knew today something's gonna happen. I felt that the atmosphere was there, the crowd was there, lots of unsaved people. Can you imagine what a testimony that was going to be for the people? I've never in my life seen something like this. I'm done with the service in church. We're off to the cemetery. I get to the cemetery. The grave is a good size. The coffin can fit. But the coffin didn't want to go down. Man, the grave is a good size. The coffin can fit. But when I said, let down the coffin, it got stuck. They battled for 2 hours to get that. They started chopping here, where it got stuck, then it got stuck at the back. They chopped it up, it got stuck. Man, the Lord was, the spirit of fear tormented me. All I was supposed to say, people, watch the miracle. Young man, come out. Open, come out. I'm telling you, I would have had so much people saved that day. The coffin took 2 hours to go down. I left tormented in my heart. I knew that boy wasn't supposed to be buried. You missed it, Luke. As super spiritual as what you are, you missed it. You only took the scripture halfway. Go and heal the sick. Go and deliver people. Set them free. Oh, I'm good. But raise the dead. Oh, it's not given to me. Oh, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, Pastor this, Pastor that. They good. No. Every Christian that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're activated in the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. The job is not left for the senior pastor. If you read the book of Acts, Peter, the head apostle of the church, young boy, Philip, Stephen, performed miracles. They were ushers in the church. After church, they went to the city and rocked the city with the power. Your problem is you're waiting for Sunday. Pastor Walker, come on, man. Pastor Walker, you didn't fast. You didn't pray, man. Come on, do something. Come on, come on, do something, Pastor Walker. No! You do something. Who says you are supposed to lean over to somebody and say, man, in the middle of the church, do you know Jesus? Are you sick? As Pastor Walker preaches, I lay my hands upon you. In the miracles take place. You don't take that miracle. You just walk away. Someone else will testify and say, man, that man that laid hands on, where is he? No, I don't take no credit. Everyone, you know, tonight, I wanted to change everybody around. Sit there, sit here, sit. Because you know what? We become comfortable. That's why when the power of God comes, there are some people in church, they get upset. Some people will never be able to handle the power. They leave church. You see, when the power comes, it begins to challenge your comfort zone. When the Holy Ghost comes on a church, on a person, you get challenged. You can't live the same life. You can't be the same person. You can't be angry every day. You can't be moody every day. What Christian are you? You are moody every Sunday. People are afraid to talk to you or greet you. Whoa, that sister. Even when you invite people to church, oh, don't go to her. Go this side. There are saved people here. But I'm telling you, when Jesus started preaching, the power of God began to convict that demon in that man. And that man started screaming out, why have you come and torment us? What did we do? Trying to torment Jesus and say we have more than one in this body. How many people are in church? They are tormented by demonic spirits. And then we want to keep church. Three fast songs. Three slow songs. After that, the multimedia. And now, I'm a person of excellence. I'm a person of excellence. In our church, I script everything that happens. From the person going up to welcome, I tell you what to say. If you do offering, I tell you what to say. I am an administrator by excellence. I love it. But when the Spirit comes, I said, what? I know nothing. I know when the Holy Ghost comes, I say, I know nothing. That excellent Spirit leaves me because a more excellent Spirit comes. All my education is out by the door because He comes in. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, He comes to lead the service now. And you know what happens when He leads? When He leads, we all bow. Solomon begins to dedicate the temple. As he dedicates the temple, the glory comes. Parking attendants, they had to wait outside. People that were trying to do church, they bowed at the pavement. They bowed. The priest, the Bible says, could not perform their normal duties. Can you imagine? Yeah, the worship leader still wants to sing. Bang! The Holy Ghost hits. The worship leader bows and cries. Someone begins to speak in tongues. That one begins to prophesy. This God takes over in order. He's no God of confusion. He'll take over in order. Our problem is we must leave Him. Or maybe the one that's supposed to sing can't sing. She fell under the power. Someone that has never led worship takes over the mic. And the atmosphere changes. And you know what happens? He walks in. You see, when we decrease, He increases. When we say it's not us, He comes in and He takes control. One Sunday, a couple of weeks ago, I came in. I normally don't come in early in church. I am in the green room. I'm praying, I'm doing whatever, but I know what's happening in church. So I go in at the time that I have to go in. But this Sunday, the Lord says, you get in before everybody. When they came, I was in church. I was leading intercessory prayer. And I stood there. The worship leaders all came to sing, and I led worship with them. And then the presence of God came. I know how to get into the presence. Some don't know. Doesn't mean you're a worship leader, you know how to get into the presence. I can come in and get into the presence. I know how to get into the presence of God. It's a gift to get into His presence. That's all that I want, to get into the man. The presence enveloped the church. There was a tangible anointing. This one started crying. That one started. I said, Lord, you do it. I'm not in charge. You in charge. That's what he wants. This next move of God is a move that we must be sensitive. Every week I desire him. Every week when I come to church, I say, what miracle are you going to do today, Holy Ghost? Who are you going to touch today? Who are you going to do this? I want to work with you. God's going to do supernatural signs and wonders in the end time. You must receive it and expect it. Every one of us. That man was demon possessed in a good rabbi's church. When the power of God comes, the demon manifests. And people will say, wow, you then elder so and so. Man, you are the one that we always see in church. But they don't know what you carry. A demon of bitterness. A demon of anger. A demon of abuse. A demon of rejection. Those demons are sitting on people and you don't know they carry it. It's on the inside. When the power comes, it frees people of years of possession. Because you don't know what people go through. They go home tormented. They're at their workplace tormented. And you say, no, normal church. I'm tired of normal church. I want the presence of God to deliver, set people free, heal people. You don't know how many people in the church is sitting with packets of tablets. They have to drink it in intervals. Tablet after tablet after tablet after tablet. Their lives are full of tablets. I'm telling you, if I have to ask a couple of you, you'll lift your hand. Pastor, I'm on 6 tablets a day. I'm on a whole packet of tablets in church. Then we want to keep church as normal. Our young people are killing themselves. They're out on drugs. They're living a bad life. Then you want to keep church as normal? Your children are going to hell and you want to keep church as normal? No. We have to change. And you know where it starts. That's where it starts. You know, the half-brother of Jesus, James, when they took him to the top of the temple and they had to ask him to deny his belief, they'll not throw him down. He didn't deny his belief. They threw him down from the pinnacle of the temple. They threw him down. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, didn't die. Then they started stoning him. He still didn't die. And afterwards, someone just hit him and he died. But you know what was the shocking part to me? When they uncovered his knees. They said his knees were so hard. Can you imagine how many hours he spent on his knees praying? The church is neglecting one of the most powerful tools, is the tool of prayer. When we take prayer out of church, we cry, no, don't take prayer out of the schools, but you're taking prayer out of church. You're actually taking prayer out of your house. You don't want to pray anymore. You used to pray hours. You don't pray anymore. When God wakes you up, he says, no, just I want to sleep a little bit more. And the Lord says, you don't know the demons that are assigned to your house. The demons that are assigned to you. You don't want to pray. I know the power of prayer. My dad, he died, he was 84. For the life of me, as long as I know myself, I heard his voice. 4 in the morning, pray for hours. Wake up, go to work. When he comes back, he prays. I grew up in a house that prayed. I knew prayer. If we didn't have, my father will say, pray. If we want school shoes, pray. If you want money, pray. And God manifested. The current church, we want the presence, but we don't want to pay for it. We're lazy. You call prayer meetings, little people show up. You call a concert, the whole church is full. We have to get back to the most sacred things, the power of prayer. And I'm not talking just prayer, prevailing prayer. You don't stop until it happens. You call down fire. You pray until something happens in the atmosphere. You pray until God shows up and the atmosphere begins to change and you know something's happening. Oh, Lord Jesus, the power of prayer, prevailing prayer. You know what I did? One day God woke me up. I'm a person of prayer. I woke up. I used to pray. I don't pray like I used to. I know it. I used to, when I get on my knees, I used to wake up after 4 hours. I'll push through in prayer. I'll push through hours in prayer. Hours and hours and hours. I used to fast for days and weeks. That's why I know the supernatural power of God. I unlock the presence of God on my knees and fasting and praying. Not this current 21st century church. We don't want that. You want confession, possess. Confess, possess. I want to confess my job, I possess it. The old church knew the power of prayer. The new church, no. We want microwave miracles. If it doesn't happen tonight, you don't want to serve God. I'm asking us, the presence of God is hovering all over the world. The Holy Ghost is looking for a people and a place that he can sit on. He's looking for an individual that says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm not going, I'm taking off work for a week, not a holiday, to pray. When God begins to see the sacrifice, when he sees the sacrifice, there's no telling what God can do. When he sees the heart of people are drawn to him, he will manifest. I know it. I've seen it. I've known God. One day we were fasting for 7 days. I was young. The minute I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were taught to fast. I fasted for 3 days. No water, no food, nothing. I went to school. My mother said, you're going to faint. I said, not this Jesus. I fasted for 3 days. My youth pastor asked me to preach at a youth gathering of maybe a couple of hundreds of young people. 15-year-old. I have to go and preach. I went to church 2 hours early. I prayed and prayed and prayed. When I woke up in my prayer, the church was on. The youth pastor thought I'm not there. I was in the prayer room. When I got out, fire was in my eyes. Fire. Young people got saved. Man, I can't even tell you. They came running to the altar just because of prayer. We went on a 7-day fasting, myself and a friend of mine. Didn't eat, didn't drink, nothing for 7 days. The 7th day, we came back to a church prayer meeting. Man, I've not seen the glory like I saw it that day. It was thick. I couldn't see the people around me. We had to walk like this, the way the glory was. Man, people were filled with the Holy Ghost. No one prayed for them. They collapsed under the power. People laid stuck to the ground because of prayer. Young people, we were hungry for God. This presence. present 21st century church is no more hungry. We don't want to push and prevail. We don't want to. That's why we're afraid of the Holy Ghost. Because if he comes and sit, it's his way or the highway. You know what he'll do? He'll whisper. He said, look, go and give the mama there at the back. Go and give her $1,000. Me? I'm not going to go give that mama $1,000. Then the Lord says, look, go and give that mama $1,000. Now I obey him. In church, mama, the Lord says, I must give you $1,000. Little did I know, God instructed someone else to give me $10,000. That's how the Holy Ghost works. The Bible says the early church, no lack, no need. Because if I had two properties, I decide, oh, the Holy Ghost touched me, sell the one. I sell the one, I bring the prophet to the apostles. Do what God said you must do. That's how the church began to multiply and grow. This current 21st century church is a stingy church. We don't know giving. No. You think you know giving, Americans? No, you don't know giving. Come to the Africans. Come to the Africans. I'm telling you, they're going to fetch their houses. They're going to fetch car papers. They're going to fetch their house papers, and they'll bring it to the pastor, not knowing where to go and stay. I know it happened to me many times. I didn't give away one car. I gave away cars. At one time, I came from a service where I gave the one car, but one day I was in church and the Lord says, take your car, give it to the... I said, Lord, my second car. That's what God does. I know, man, giving, you don't know giving. I know people that will give everything, leave it at the altar. When they go home, they don't know where they're going to. But I'm telling you, when you get around them, seems like the presence of God, the way they look at you, seems like they can look through you. In the early days of the Catherine Kuhlmans, man, they used to say, when people came to the Catherine Kuhlman meetings, people used to get healed in the buses. Crippled, blind, deaf, before they came into church. Church, before church, people are getting healed. When they come into the meetings, I know a lady, Teresa Wairimo. She is in Kenya. Apostle knows her. She was hungry for God. Came to one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings and said, I want God. I want the Holy Ghost. She stayed until church was out. The power of God on Reinhard Bonnke laid hands upon her. The power hit her. Today you must go and see the work that she's doing in Kenya. A massive church they just dedicated the other day. State of the art. Some of these American churches will see nothing. Dead free. Dead free. That's what God does. When the Spirit of God begins to move, your heart is no more your heart. That heart of flesh, that heart of stone, God begins to convert it, and the Spirit takes over and says, I'm taking charge now. Look, I've seen God. I've seen him. I know what I'm talking about. I told our church, I want him back. We have put him out. We put him out. He's like the main player that we put on the side. He sees you are losing the game. Just field me. And we said, no, not now. We put money in. After we put money, we put ideas in. After we put ideas, we put our own knowledge in. He says, field me. You know what? We put projects in. are we going to do it? Projects. We're selling stuff. He says, no, bring me in. There's a rich man, I'll touch his heart. He'll bring the money. Put me in, I'll touch that woman. Put me in, I'll touch that man. I'll heal this one, deliver, set that one free. Just get me in the game. But he doesn't come if he's not invited. If you don't want him, he doesn't come. He's not that one that forces. No, he doesn't force. When you begin to appreciate the Holy Ghost, he does miracles. I was doing a leadership teaching. I was doing a leadership teaching for my friend, evangelist Eden Constance, that's supposed to come with. I'm doing a leadership teaching, and I was supposed to leave the second session. He asked me to do a third session. Man, I was like 200 or 300 leaders. The presence of God walked in. In a leadership session, people are being healed, touched. That's what happens when you ask him, I'm walking out, you step in. I've seen God, I want to present this powerful anointing to you. Cancers, people will spit cancer out. Fibroids, many women, they suffer with fibroids. It will come out. There was a lady, young. She was in church the Sunday. Tuesday, rushed to a hospital. The husband phones me and said, man, the minute she came in, they operated on her. She was gone, dead. We prevailed in prayer. I went to the hospital. I laid my hands upon her, rebuked the spirit of death, called her back to life. Church was praying. People were praying all over. 2 days afterwards, she came back. Came back to, listen to me. If you're thinking church is a ball game, you got the wrong place. Listen, that girl was sitting in the church that I pastor, as powerful as Pastor Luke is. She was sitting in church with the spirit of bitterness. I preached Sunday after Sunday. I'm telling you, the presence of God. She was an usher with bitterness. I made altar calls week after week for people to repent. A born again, bitter Christian on her way to hell. When she came back out of the dream or out of the vision, she told me, Pastor, I need to come and see you. It was during that time I preached about eternity week after week, maybe for a month. She says, Pastor, when she came back, she says, let me tell you, your message is so needed. I said, what's going on? She says, Pastor, when I came back in my body, let me tell you what happened to me. I went into this place, she told me. She says, it was like an arch. She says, it was bright as you can see it. She says, every human being on the planet of the earth had to pass through it. She says, it was like a gate. She says, I've seen multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes. She says, all of them that came, as they pass the arch, she says, as they went through, then the true person was revealed. She says, there's others that had one dot. She says, I don't even know where they went. There were others with two dots, others with more dots. They vanished into a place of pain. She says, and then there was others, as they go through, they became much brighter, clean, no dots. And they went into a place of peace. So she says, Pastor, you know what were those dots? It was people in church that sat with unforgiveness. It was people in church that said with bitterness, she says, you know what? When I came there, I was resisted from entering. She says, I wanted to go in, but they didn't want me to go in. She says, I heard people praying in tongues. I heard people calling. She says, I came back to my body. She says, Pastor, if I had to die, I was going to a Christless eternity. I said to her, what happened? She says, I haven't spoken to my mother-in-law for years. When she came back to her body, 4 a.m. in the morning, she called her husband. She says, I want to speak to my mother-in-law. She says, I'm asking you to forgive me. She says, the minute she says that, it dropped. Then you want normal church. You want usual church. When 80% in churches are going to hell, you want normal church. Can you imagine I get to heaven and a quarter of my members are there? I fail them because I preach stories. I told them everything besides living right. I beg you, man, I'm telling you, the anointing is in this place. I see a mist that's all over this, a mist. There's a mist in this place. There's a mist in this. Before I'm going to continue, this is my assignment. I heard from God this afternoon. He says, look, ask my children that's playing around with me to repent. That's my assignment. Ask. I said, Lord, but these are children of God. He says, let them repent. Repent. Some of you, you know you're not right. I guarantee you, if Jesus must come now, I know where I'm going. Me, no doubt. I'm ready, saved, and steady. I'm right with Jesus. Are you right with they, Pastor Walker, before God, they know me in my country. All past, there's not a pastor that I don't talk to. If people's got issues with me, I'll go to them. If you got an issue with, there's nobody that's got a, if you have an issue with Luke, and Luke knows it, as a pastor, I'll take you an offering. There's many pastors that have issues with me just because of what God is doing. I'll take them an offering or I'll send them an offering. And then I'll invite them for coffee. Talk like I don't know nothing. You know why? I want a clean heart. You can't keep me from heaven. What all your negative talks, it doesn't hurt me at all. My wife says, you got a different heart. They know me. Everybody, my heart is clean. To hate, it can't come in here. But no, I even try many times to dislike people. And I'm telling, many hurt me. Many, they hurt me. As a pastor, they leave the church, they talk nonsense about you. I text them. Say, I love you, man. Whoa! There's others that say, man, can I go with you for lunch? I don't talk about what I heard. I'm just saying, how you doing? I'll pay for the lunch. Let's meet again. God bless you. If you're not right, I don't care who knows you. If you're not right and you want me to pray for you, heaven knows you. Heaven knows you. You're carrying hatred, bitterness, envy, strife, unforgiveness. You are playing around with God. Wherever you are, I just want you to lift your hand. Say, I want to repent. Thank you. Come on, there's a whole lot of you. Come, come, come. Lift it up, man. Just there. Yeah, yeah. You want to go to heaven? Lift your hand, man. There's no time to play around. We can end everything by praying for you. Personal prophecy. Jesus loves you. In 2 years from now, you'll be a millionaire. Lies. 3 months from now, this is going to happen. Lies. The best prophecy I can give you, make right with Jesus. Whoever you are, make right with Jesus. Come on, lift your hands again before I pray. Before I pray. Before I pray. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus. Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for being a hypocrite. Jesus, cleanse me. Holy Ghost, deliver me. Holy Ghost, deliver me. Holy Ghost, deliver me. Whew. Jesus, don't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, don't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, I'm telling you, there's power here. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Ladies and gentlemen, I've buried people. I've gone to a hospital when people are busy dying, they're on their way dying. There's some people, they were busy dying. I don't want to see, don't you? Man, it's horrific. It's horrific when you're outside of Jesus. You know, there are people, they'll scream and call for everybody. Bring me John, bring me Peter, bring me this one. I want to say, sorry, they died during that time. Why didn't you make right when you had time? Then I've been, this was a beautiful man. She's a gift of God. She served God, a beautiful lady. We were around the bedside, myself, Bishop Edwards, Pastor Damema, a couple of us. We were singing the songs of Zion. Singing, and she looked at us. You could see what love in her eyes. Doctor said, not many hours from now. Then it became not many minutes from now, not many seconds. We watched her die. My own dad. He served God for years. He loved Jesus. He was sick, fell ill, rushed to the hospital. We were at his bedside, beautiful. All the sons, one daughter, lots of the grandchildren were around the bedside. There was a pastor that my brother asked to pray, and he's praying. But I can see he's trying to please the family. His prayers are just hitting nowhere. Pray. And he finished praying, and my brother said, Pastor Luke, would you please pray? I stepped forward. I was at his head. I said, Daddy, thank you for teaching us the ways of the Lord. Thank you for getting us. Thank you for teaching us how to love our wives. You loved mommy for 54 years. You looked after her. You served her. Thank you, Daddy. You are a good dad. We've just come to say goodbye. The angels are here to take you, Daddy. We've come to say, I said, the angels are here to take my father. All of you come say goodbye to him. One after the other. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. We released him. I said, mommy, say goodbye to him. She said goodbye. We cried our cry. The evening, the angels, they were standing there. They just waited for everything to be over. The angels came and they took him. I'm at peace. If there's ever the joy that I have, the joy of seeing my Maker face to face. All these things I leave behind. I leave my wife behind. She'll take another husband if she wants to. It's cool. I'm with Jesus. She must battle with that man's moods. She must battle paying account. Luke was nice. Now she must be with another clown. I'm playing. I'm not dying now. But you know what I told my wife in front of the church? I said, the day I die, don't take a pastor. You'll go to hell. Don't take another pastor. Do you know how much pastors' wives are on their way to hell because of the church? They love the pastor, they don't love the pastor's wife. They'll come greet the pastor, not the pastor's wife. I said, my wife, if I die before you and you want to see me in heaven, don't take another pastor. This one you did by default. Because when you took me, I wasn't a pastor. But I had intentions of becoming. I said, if you want to, my wife, I'm telling you before God, don't take another pastor. You know the people. You know, we come to prayer meeting the whole of winter. It is us and some for all these years. Sunday church is packed. Prayer meetings. I said, don't take another pastor. These people will break your heart. Because if we buy a new car, they talk about us. Let a businessman buy a new car, they don't talk about him. We have to walk carefully just for your conscience. We mustn't talk to other women because then we got something going on. We must watch what we say, how we say it for your. But I said, I don't want to take nobody to hell because of my life. I want to live right. Right. I want to live by the book. I don't steal church money. I don't mess around. I'm living by the book. You know why? I want to go to heaven first. I want to take you with. The presence of God is here. Where's the person that's got mental problem? Did they bring some people with mental problems? You know, there's a text that's taking place. Mental problems and women with fibroids. I've never in my generation seen so much women that have fibroid problems. There was a young girl. She's not even married. One of my daughters in church. Beautiful girl. Not married. Pastor, the fibroid is as thick and as heavy as a baby. I said, you devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. So today, if there's a prophecy that I had to give everybody, get right. Today you came right. Stick with Jesus, man. You know when you've got friends that, I don't know why I'm talking like this. If you've got people that don't love Jesus, stay away from them. They could be in church messing around. Conventional Christians, stay away. Stay with people that love Jesus. It won't be long. I'm telling you, it will not be long. If I don't ever see you again, I'll meet you in the air. I'll meet you in the air. If you're ready and I'm ready, we'll meet one another there. Bible says the rapture. Quick, be taken up. I'll meet you in the heavens if you're ready. Every minute you must confess, Lord, I'm sorry. I was thinking wrong. I said the wrong thing. Please forgive me. Forgive me. If I was envious over anyone, forgive me. Lord, if I'm not right, if I rob somebody, forgive me. If I spoke wrong at these meetings, these last couple of, forgive me. If I said something that nobody can check me on, forgive me. If I spoke something just to hype up the crowd, forgive me. I want to be a preacher of integrity. What I say, they must be able to counter it. Jesus. Whoa.